A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" She said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once again, welcome all of you to this Facebook Live Mass. Online streaming is now the norm. We're becoming experts at it. Each week we get better equipment and better ways to do it. So keep praying for all of us who endeavor to do this. Some people are already calling this the Great Lent of 2020. It is certainly a year and time in history that we will never forget. Unfortunately, this virus and the reality of the time we live in is not in some distant past for us. It is now. We are living it. It is a time of fear. People are anxious, depressed, and struggling. And what we are supposed to do, we ask, if we can't leave our house, or go to work, or see our family, or be with someone in the hospital who is dying. These are the questions that are gripping our hearts and minds. So I want us to focus today on the tomb of Lazarus. The tomb of Lazarus is a precursor for the tomb of Jesus. It points us towards the tomb where Jesus is laid. When Jesus comes to a tomb, particularly in this gospel, it is no longer a place of death and decay. When Jesus arrives at a tomb, suddenly there is life. There is love. There is resurrection. Let's consider then the tomb and its significance for this fifth Sunday of Lent. So first of all, a first century tomb is not a permanent place for a body. Usually a family owned a tomb, and it was used over and over for the members of that family. So after a body had finished the process of decay, the bones would be gathered, they would be put into a bone box and placed in a more permanent resting place. And the tomb then would be used again and again for the next family members to come. They had to do this because a tomb was not easy to come by. It was expensive to have. And so you had to reuse it if you had one. The tomb, then, we recognize is not permanent. Even in the mind of a first century Jewish person, the tomb was not permanent, physically or spiritually. When it is said by Martha, "I know my brother will rise on the last day." This was a belief in the soul rising to go to the place of the dead, of their ancestors. But in the presence of the Word of God, Jesus, the Messiah, the incarnate Word, the tomb is the place where darkness turns to light, the place where death becomes life, where the tomb is not a place of mourning, but a place of joy. We focus on the tomb of Lazarus on this fifth Sunday of Lent because we are beginning on this Sunday our more proximate and focused pilgrimage toward the tomb of Jesus. This week, the daily readings will shift a bit to a contemplation of death and resurrection. We have to face this darkness before we live in the light. Maybe that's why this is the Great Lent of 2020. We are facing a darkness, not just the virus, although that is part of the problem, a big part of it. But because of that, God is asking us to face, in a real way, our fear, our doubts, to face sin, and all that follows the illness we face. How do we do this? What's the answer to this darkness? Well, what does Jesus say to Martha? And probably anyone who could hear him at that moment. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." At the Urbi et Orbi blessing this week from Pope Francis, and by the way, Urbi et Orbi means to the city of Rome, and et Orbi and to the world. In his homily, he offered such a beautiful meditation for our prayer. I encourage you to find that homily and use it for prayer, for meditation. Allow me to offer a small portion for our thoughts today. At one point, Pope Francis takes us to the cross of Jesus. And he says, "The Lord asks us from this cross to rediscover the life that awaits us, to look towards those who look to us, to strengthen, recognize, and foster the grace that lives within us. Let us not quench the wavering flame that never falters, and let us allow hope to be rekindled." Embracing his cross means finding the courage to embrace all the hardships of this present time, abandoning for a moment our eagerness for power and possessions in order to make room for the creativity that only the Spirit is capable of inspiring. It means finding the courage to create spaces where everyone can recognize that they are called, and to allow new forms of hospitality, fraternity, and solidarity. By his cross, we have been saved in order to embrace hope and let it strengthen and sustain all measures and all possible avenues for helping us protect ourselves and others. Embracing the Lord in order to embrace hope. That is the strength of faith, which frees us from fear and gives us hope. The Holy Father is asking us to embrace Jesus. Hope, this is the lasting reality of the tomb where Jesus comes to visit. The tomb is a sign of hope that points our way to the Heavenly Father. Jesus transforms and reorders everything, even our suffering, our fears, our uncertainty. Jesus loves you and is at the entrance of your tomb of doubt or suffering, the tomb of fear or uncertainty. Jesus is with you. He is with us. He is still the resurrection and the life. Like St. Paul teaches us, if Christ is in you, you are alive. You are not in darkness or death. You are children of the light. We cannot stay in the tomb. We have to go to the light of Jesus. As he says at the tomb of Lazarus, "Come out in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."